Hi guys, before we get into this show, this is a quick message to say that this podcast is sponsored by Ant Podcast Management. That's our own company. Ant stands for Amy Nick Thompson. If you or your company want to start a professional podcast or need help running an existing one, then we have got you covered. We can simply provide an editing service or go all the way up to full podcast management. Visit ant-podcastmanagement.com. for more information. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to What the Faux podcast. On this month's episode, you'll hear us talk about 10 things I know to be true about myself, the Capitals game, and name that fucking language.
And you might also order a curry.
Hello and welcome to What the Faux podcast. This is our first episode, Nick.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting. I'm glad to get things started.
Yeah, definitely. So my name's Amy.
And I'm Nick.
We should explain who we are and why we're doing this. So who are we?
Who are we? Right, well, yeah, we're an engaged couple. We've been together for seven and a half years,
yeah.
Yeah.
And, going strong.
Yeah, but one of our biggest common interests is travel. I believe that's actually the first thing that attracted you to me.
Yes, you hooked me in with the travel.
I just told you some bollocks travel story, to be honest. You were young and well influenced.
Not too young, just want to put it out there. 17, yeah, legal.
not in some countries. Easily influenced. Well, I suppose as you look at a map of the UK, as you look towards the right, so east, we've pretty much done most of that, haven't we? Together.
Yeah,
the UK.
Except for Russia, which is quite a big part.
Let's do it in order. So, well, before I met you, I travelled around the USA.
You did, yeah. Tell us what you did.
I worked at a camp. Lots of people do the whole camp America thing. Then once that was finished, did a bit of travelling around the East Coast. And then I'd booked a trip from, it was a road trip from LA to New York. And that we've taken the southern route. And that was with Trek America, I think I booked that with.
No, you always get this wrong. Your mum told us.
You're talking about Camp America.
Oh. I'll shut up.
Yeah, the company was Trek America. It was a three-week road trip from LA to New York.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Then when we met, the first place we went together, our big trip.
Wait a minute. Let's backtrack. So in America, what sort of things did you do? Like you said where you went, but.
Yeah, okay.
So well, tell us a bit about the camp.
The camp was in upstate New York. Place called Lake Placid. There was a horror film made, I think, about Lake Placid, a big crocodile. It was staying in Lake Placid, camp called Camp Woodsmoke.
So I don't know what lake. I haven't seen the film, and I don't really know much about Lake Placid. That's just a lake, and why is it famous? Just because of the film?
There was a film. You know, like the Loch Ness Monster. There's a monster in there. Lake Placid, it was like people were thinking, is there a monster in there? And it turns out, I think, people will probably correct me if I'm wrong, I think there was a big crocodile in the lake. But it's also famous for, it did hold the Olympics 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, the camp, it was a very outdoorsy camp, no electricity, one shower a week.
You would
not have survived.
I can get used to things like that.
Kayaking,
it's just the first few days.
Kayaking, archery, all kind of games like that. But we were in proper bear territory, which was scary.
Yeah.
And especially, we're responsible for kids' lives. All that the bear training pretty much was, don't run. You'll never outrun or outclimb a bear.
Oh, God.
Apparently, they'll only attack if they're cornered or intimidated, so you should be fine. But I was scared to death about running into a bear with these kids, because I'm supposed to protect them. Part of the camp was you have to spend, I think it was two camp counsellors, like two camp leaders, have to take a group of kids into deep into the forest and set up your own camp, start your own fire to cook your dinner. And that was the point where you're most likely to encounter a bear. And once we finish cooking, you have to wash all the plates to get the smell of food off. You have to put them all in a bag. You have to tie a rope to the bag, throw it over a tree branch quite high up, pull the rope so they tie the bag up in the tree. So if a bear does come, it's out of reach and you have to be downwind or upwind. Don't get them mixed up.
Basically, don't take any advice from you.
But yeah, bear training was quite limited. But no, we never ran into a bear. The whole area is, I believe, the Adirondack Mountains. Mountainous, it's lots of forest. Yeah, it's real wilderness. Like, you get in America, people sometimes think of it as a really big, developed place, but it's a huge country and there's so much wilderness. There's so much, where there could be not another person for miles around.
When obviously you've told me about this camp before, but the one thing that really sticks in my mind was the camp leader you told me about. She was like Miss Trunchbull or something, and it's girls can't speak to boys and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was very much, the camp was separated a bit like a primary school disco.
Oh.
Boys on one side, girls on the other. Yeah, she did rule with an iron fist. But hey, it was a successful camp. It's been going for a long time. I'm sure it's still going.
Yeah, probably. We should get her on the podcast.
Wow, yeah.
I wonder if she will remember you, be the one sneaking out.
She did ask me to come back, but I think they asked everyone to go back.
Another thing that I found really cool was because you weren't showering, how did you get clean and wake up in the mornings?
Yeah, it's quite funny because every morning, if the kids wanted to, they could jump in the lake, which was, even though it was the summer, but still, it's like a freezing cold lake. You jump in every morning. And I was told if you jump in every morning, you get a special polar bear badge that you can like kind of stitch on your clothing. I thought that would look great on my backpack. Like, that looked really cool. So I did it every morning. And right at the end, you get the award ceremonies and all the kids got their badges. But that was the point I realised it was only for the kids. It wasn't for
hilarious.
It wasn't for the people that worked there.
So you didn't get your polar
I jumped in every badge. Morning. I didn't get my badge.
Oh, man.
But it was surprising how fresh you felt after doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, looking back now, how did we go a week without showering?
That's mental. I couldn't do that. Like when we was in Australia, I swear I showered 3 times in one day.
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
That was just because we're in a camper van and it was really dirty and I couldn't handle it.
3 times and it was supposed to be rough in it. But you asked about the America trip. So yeah, once the camp finished, it was hard work by the way, but it was good. Anyone who's been would know. Then I had like some time to play with really, so I toured around the East Coast with some friends that I met at the camp, and then yeah, I had this trip booked, road trip, LA to New York, took the Southern Route, we went through Vegas, Monument Valley.
You went to the Jack Daniels factory.
Jack Daniels, New Orleans, which is actually my favourite place. Like you said, Jack Daniels is Tennessee, Alabama, all the way up to New York, which was really cool.
Sweet, sounds good. So then you met me and wowed me with all those travel stories.
And yeah, by the way, I thought that was the end of my travelling days by that point. I thought, yeah, I've done that now.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, the story impressed you.
It did, yes. And you're still, from the day we met, you're still Nick the Traveller in my phone. That's your name.
Still, yeah.
Pretty
That's
impressive.
What you knew me as, yeah.
Nick the Traveller.
So then what did we do once we were together?
So we were together for a few years. That's how long it took me to convince you to take me travelling.
It's true, yeah.
Not take me, I did pay. Did I?
Yeah. You might still owe me something from that trip. Right, carry on.
So our first trip, we started in Sri Lanka for like one day. It was a stopover, wasn't it? So we can't really count that. But then we went to Thailand. We did the typical Southeast Asia route. So we did Thailand, Cambodia, and then
Indonesia.
And then finished in Indonesia. Yeah, it was it was just a typical trip. We started in Bangkok, found all the crazy streets of like Koh San Road.
Soiran Butri.
Yeah. Now that is a good street if people want to go down there.
I preferred that to Koh San Road. Yeah. Koh San Road's famous, isn't it, for being proper backpacker territory. But it was just a bit too much,
wasn't
it?
It was too much. Like you walk down and everybody's European or English, which is fine, but the street is kind of becoming European. There's not really much Asian stuff there
We just felt like we were back home on a night out, didn't we?
Yeah, on like a dirty night out in Magaluf or something.
Yeah, which, you know, it's got its time and its place. That can be fun.
Yeah, definitely. But Soiran Butri was a lot calmer. There were still travellers down there.
Yeah, a lot.
But they're like the type of travellers that wear harem pants, like the massive ones and all hippified and stuff, which I love. Like I'd completely immerse myself in stuff like that.
That was us, wasn't it?
And yeah, but they had all the typical stuff down there, like the massages, all the beer t-shirts that you can buy and stuff like that. That's cool.
But while we were there, of course, we fell for all the tourist tricks, you know, like the taxi driver said, 20 baht, which is, do we know how much that is in pounds? Not much. Well, he gave us a very cheap price for a city tour on his taxi, and we thought, what can go wrong?
It wasn't a taxi, it was a
tuk-tuk.
Tuk-tuk.
Yeah, we thought, what can go wrong? A city tour for that cheap. But of course, they take you to all their mates' shops and pressure you to buy things.
To like suit shops, travel agents.
Yeah, to book trips. And it ended up being a bit of a pain, didn't it? Yeah, we still got to see quite a lot of the city. But I'd recommend, don't. It's a classic thing that people fall for.
Yeah, it is. But actually, I don't regret it because we saw a lot of Bangkok through doing that. And because we're quite strong, we kind of got through the pressuring and we just said straight away, do you know what? I'm not going to buy anything. Be really straight-faced with it if you don't want to be taken in and then you can get away with it. But
yeah, you've learned to when people approach you on the street to sell you things, you've learned to
I'm a bitch.
You're good at getting rid of them. They think, bloody, I'm not messing with her. You're just very, you don't give them any eye contact.
No.
You're just like quite rude. No,
but you've got to be, because like it's normally like we're walking down the street, I'm no, don't look at me, don't touch me, don't grab me, and then I'm like walking and then I see you're not walking next to me, so I look behind me. Oh, you're caught with about 20 Thai people like trying to sell you stuff, and it's a good thing because it's because you're so nice and you'll respond to them if they say, oh, you want to buy this? And then you'll say, no, thank you. No, and they think they've got you. They can catch you. They can reel you in.
I give them all the eye contact. I'm like, oh, no, thank you, please. Sorry. No, thank you. Sorry.
So it's kind of good because I'm making you harder.
Take credit card?
Yeah, that happened once. It was in Morocco. I had to cry to get out of the rug shop.
Yeah.
While you're handing over your credit cards. I had to snatch the card and run out and cry.
I just thought pain would be the quickest and easiest way to get out of there.
We've been caught in a lot of scams, but I think it's character building. It's been good.
Yeah, you learn the do's and don'ts. We also explored the south. Like
Phi Phi Islands.
Because the main reason we went
was because of the film The Beach, which is an amazing film. I just love how they're all in their own little island, separated from everything. And I just love it. Except for the part when Leonardo DiCaprio went a bit psycho.
Oh, the film goes dark, yeah. But then we went all that way, spent all that money to get there. Because we had a tight schedule. We were only on the Phi Phi Islands for one night, weren't we? And we booked this boat trip to go see the beach. You know,
we were there for two nights.
Okay, but we booked this trip to go see the beach, you know, where it's filmed. The weather was so bad, the guys are like, we have to turn around.
We might die.
Yeah, his words are, we might die. And they were handing out life jackets. And you know, when a boat of Thai blokes are handing out life jackets, you know it must be serious.
Yeah.
So we didn't see the beach. The same reason why we went.
If someone hasn't seen or been to Asia, obviously when you first get there, it's massive culture shock compared to other continents. But it's just unbelievable that how safety is just not a priority. Mm. And like, we live in an overly cautious safety country. So to us, it is completely bizarre. Like, to the extent where I saw scaffolding wasn't even metal, it was all wooden. And they were like pulling like really heavy blocks of brick up on a rope that was about to snap.
You can see the bamboo leaning and
I just thought this whole massive brick's gonna fall on this guy's head. He's not wearing a helmet, of course. But yeah, so if an Asian asks you to put a life jacket on or something, you know it's serious stuff. That boat was being thrown. It was like The Perfect Storm, the film, The Perfect Storm. Yeah. We were being chucked everywhere. I was like nearly in tears. I was nearly throwing up. There was a kid on the boat throwing up.
Yeah, he was.
Poor little guy. Oh, crazy times.
We done Cambodia.
Yeah, Scambodia.
Yeah, we've now found out.
Scams there as well.
Affectionately known as Scambodia, which I wish we knew that before. Because we spent a bit of time in the capital, didn't we? Phnom Penh,
yeah. And then we did a 5-hour coach drive to Siem Reap.
Yeah, to see the temples.
Yeah, the
Angkor Wat,
that's it, where Tomb Raider was filmed. Mm-hmm. Interesting fact there, which we can put some of these pictures up on our Instagram and stuff like that, so people can have a look. But then moving on from there, we went to Indonesia, which I loved. We went to Bali and Lombok, the Gili Islands. And it's all amazing stuff to do, like scuba diving, snorkeling. Yeah, it's really cool.
So that was our first big trip together. And then the year after, we thought, let's give Australia a go. Flew to Perth. We stayed with one of your friends.
Yep, in Western Australia.
In Perth, yeah. Ironically, his name's Sydney.
Yes. So, he's actually South African, but he's called Sydney.
We stayed in Perth for a few days and we flew all the way across to Brisbane, just one side to the other, 5-hour flight. My God, ridiculous.
It just shows you how massive the country is.
Brisbane was busy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a really nice, like, definitely a lot busier than Perth. If we're completely honest, we didn't like Perth and we've heard quite a few negative reviews of it. It's just too quiet for me. I like a place that's busy, a lot of people and a lot of things to do. I think you should go to Perth, one, if you work in the oil industry.
Yeah. That's what it is, really. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
In terms of, like, even trying to find where the students went out for a night out, there was no atmosphere. So, yeah, we weren't too keen on that. So when we went to Brisbane, it was quite a nice surprise. We're staying in a really cool backpacker hostel, and so there's loads of people our age sleeping and bunking there, and it was really cool. We got to meet a few people.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, and we just found generally the east side, if everyone's being honest. I know a lot of people say west is best, but if everyone's being honest, the east coast of Australia was better.
It's even got the Great Barrier Reef, so they can't argue with that.
Yeah, well, onto that. From Brisbane, we thought, right, we can either travel north to Cairns. You have to say that in an Australian accent,
Cairns,
don't you? Yeah.
We thought,
we can either drive north to Cairns, and by the way, we were there in Australian winter, so the weather wasn't too great, so we thought the further north we go, the better it should be. Mm. Or we thought we can drive south to Sydney and explore that. We decided to go north, which I'm happy with that decision.
Definitely,
We rented a camper van, so we slept in that. We drove...
Wicked camper van, if anyone wants to know. The company's called Wicked, and they just graffiti the whole thing and, like, do cartoons. They look a little bit like... Do you remember the music group gorillas? Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, gorillas. Yeah. You know their kind of cartoon look to them on their artwork?
Yeah, yeah,
that's what wicked camper vans look
like. Reminded me a bit of the Scooby-Doo Mystery Machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's be honest, inside, what a load of shite, the camper van. But it got us there, and by the end of it, it was our home.
Oh, I loved it.
You were sad to say goodbye, weren't you? Like, I really enjoyed it, but I thought, yeah, this chapter's done now. But it was like you became really attached to it. It was your home.
I get really attached to stuff. I think one of my favourite photos from that whole trip was with that camper van. There was one where we pulled over one morning to have our breakfast because we got up really early to drive to the next place, mm-hmm. like 4 or 5 in the morning. And we'd stopped at this BP garage and you open the back and it's kind of like a kitchen in the back of the camper van. And we're in our pyjamas standing outside with BP garage in the background and we're eating our cornflakes out of these plastic coloured bowls. Yeah. And it just looks so, I don't know, what does it look like?
But, well, yeah, not very glamorous, but that's actually the kind of thing that's like when you're happiest.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the stuff that you, well, me as well, but that's the stuff especially, that's what you love, rather than being, you know, taken out to a nice restaurant, which we do enjoy Ooh. From time to time. Yeah, but that kind of thing is when you're happiest, actually.
I like my cornflakes at a BP garage car park.
Yeah.
Classy.
But I would mention, actually, on the way to Cairns, we've got to mention the Whitsundays, which were Airlie Beach. That was a really good place to stop for a few days. And yeah, the Whitsundays were amazing.
Yeah, they're in the top 10 best beaches of the world.
Whitehaven Beach.
But there's these things in the water and they sting you, but you can't see them. They're so small. I just imagine them to be like tiny little jellyfish. I just kept getting stung. Do you remember?
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I just look back with good memories on that.
No, I think of that and then them little reptiles that were running around all the time. Well,
then big lizards, yeah. But what I do remember is the guy said, because the sand was so pure, good quality on the beach, pick it up and take a load home because it's good for your skin. You can get a big fine for that.
Yeah, it's like the equivalent of £2,000 or something.
So yeah, it's a really protected beach, but you can tell. That was actually the one beach I've ever been to which looked like the picture on the postcard.
Yes, it looked photoshopped.
Did. Yeah, it was amazing. Cairns was great, mainly because from there we went off the coast to scuba dive the Barrier Reef, which is really cool.
You said that was one of your best days for that trip.
For someone, I hate swimming in the sea. I hate it. But once you get under and you get your breathing sorted, it's so relaxing and fish could swim right by. And I loved it. I really enjoyed scuba diving.
We got quite a good GoPro of that as well. So maybe we can put that a little Instagram video
up. Yeah, for sure. And then from Cairns, we flew to New Zealand.
And I much preferred New Zealand. Like, this is one of my favourite countries.
We all preferred New Zealand. Unfortunately, we only got to the South Island because we were supposed to fly to the north. But the weather was so bad. Our flights were cancelled.
So all the flights were cancelled. And then also you couldn't even drive places because some of the valleys were flooded and stuff. And it was just dangerous. We were in Christchurch where the massive
Earthquake was.
And so
not at the same time as the earthquake.
No.
After. Only like a couple of years after, but the city was still like on its knees. Half of it was still like demolished, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It was really sad to see. We were stranded in Christchurch because we couldn't get out because all the roads were closed. But we're staying in a really cool hostel. We should remember the name of that hostel.
Oh, it was amazing because there were so many other people. Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Around the World Hostel.
And I definitely recommend it. They almost felt like a family, like straight away. It felt like a home rather than a hostel.
There was a group, was it like maybe like 15, 20 of us all around the world. And we were all in the same boat because we were all stranded in Christchurch. And there wasn't much to do in Christchurch, but we thought, let's make the best of it.
Yeah.
And we had so much fun with those guys, didn't we?
One of my best nights of that trip, and it's just so simple. We were sitting in the kitchen around a massive table, talking about where each other had been on their travels. Yeah. And then we ended up playing card games for about 2-3 hours. And it literally was one of the highlights.
We had so much
not
fun
of that trip, but of all my traveling trips. It's so simple, but you're just sitting with a group of people, and like most of the time you can't even remember the person's name sitting next to you, but you know so much about that person, and you can really make best friends straight away when you're traveling,
for sure. And people listening now who have traveled, and they would have had these nights, and they'll know exactly what you mean. And it's like, wasn't a planned night, them spontaneous nights where you just hang out. That was one of the highlights.
So moving swiftly on, the weather cleared up and
went
we could
Queenstown.
Move so we went to Queenstown, which is amazing. I love Queenstown.
Yeah.
If you're a skier or a surfer or that kind of culture, whether it's winter or summer, this place will be your absolute gem. There's so many boarders walking around. Everyone's really cool, like with their beanie hats on, and they work there like in a bar or something, and then an hour later they'll be up in the mountains
boarding. It seemed like a good life, didn't it, to live and work there? Because me and you, we like to ski.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we can do it. Normally once a year we try and ski. So when we were there, I thought, let's do it. We had a few days skiing. really cool. And while you're in Queenstown, not that they need the extra publicity, you should stop and get a Ferg burger.
Yes.
While you're there.
Oh my goodness. I'm not even like a big person on burgers, but how would you say, tell the size of it? Like, that burger's the size of my face.
Yeah.
Isn't
big,
it?
But it's proper good. And there's 24/7, I think like 23/7. There's always a queue.
I think they open at like 6 in the morning because they're a bakery as well next door, aren't they?
I'm pretty sure they're open pretty much all the time. And yeah, they're always busy. They don't need the publicity, but yeah, it was good.
If you can find a seat in that place, so lucky.
Well done, yeah.
Yeah, you must have had a few fights to get there.
But yeah, New Zealand was really cool. We really liked New Zealand.
Yeah, definitely.
We flew to Auckland, was there for a day, and then we got a flight back to London, didn't we?
Yeah. So moving on to our last and final trip that we've done so far.
So far.
And not final, because we're going to be doing more.
Yeah, and this was the best one so far, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, so we travelled to Nepal and India.
Yes.
We've always said, well, actually, I wasn't always that keen on going to India, but the more we got into curry, Indian curries, the more we thought, yep, this is it. And I would still to this day say, I'm so glad we did it in this order, because we learn all the tricks of, even you learn more about yourself as well when you travel. You know what you can handle, you know what you can't. And I think if you travel to India as your first trip, that's pretty deep stuff.
Yeah, like, jump in the deep end.
Yeah, definitely. You need to have travelled a bit before you go to India. It's quite a strong country, but it is without a doubt the best country I've ever
been. It's now been almost a year since we went. I still can't put my finger on why I love it so much. Like, the people, the history, the food, the smells, the culture.
It has everything.
But I think the important thing we should mention, this was our first trip we did. When the whole time we were there, we were with a tour group.
The same people as well.
And this was through Geckos, wasn't it?
Geckos
Tours. I think they're part of Intrepid. And we booked, a 3 or 4 week trip, India, Nepal. And that was, but I think that's what made it, because you didn't have to worry about where you're going. You always saw the best places. The tour guide knew where you could eat. And he told you do's and don'ts. And we were with a good group of people. We made some friends that we're still in contact with.
When you say the friends that we've stay in contact with, well, the guy's called James. And we call him Indian James, don't we? Because we know a few Jameses.
Yeah.
So when he's met our other friends, they're like, what, are you from India? He's got a bit of a tan. So he'll be on the podcast.
Doesn't look Indian.
Hopefully he'll be on the podcast in a few months' time.
Yeah, what we're doing is we've just told you where we've been. In the next few episodes, we're going to have special guests and we'll focus on one main country and we'll go into more depth.
But just going back to Nepal and India. So we started in Nepal and we trekked the Annapurna Mountains, whitewater rafting.
We spent a lot of time in Kathmandu.
Kathmandu, and then crossed the border into India. We went to the birthplace of Buddha, actually, in Nepal.
Yeah, Lumbini.
Lumbini, and then crossed the border, which is apparently the highest drug smuggling border in the world, apparently. And once we got through there, we travelled through India. We did the Golden Triangle. So that's like Agra, Jaipur, New Delhi. We obviously went to the Taj Mahal.
My highlight, we also went to Varanasi, didn't we? Which I suppose is the most famous part of the River Ganges.
Yeah.
Varanasi. Apparently, a lot of places claim this, but apparently Varanasi is the oldest city in the world.
Yeah, Colchester say that. Colchester in Essex.
Come to England for that. It's probably out of bollocks. But Varanasi was really cool, wasn't
it? So that's where they mainly like cremate bodies, which sounds really horrific. But one morning we woke up at 6 a.m. or got to the Ganges at 6 a.m. with our tour group, all got on this long boat and just sailed across the Ganges and just saw everybody praying and everything on the side.
Really peaceful.
And it was absolutely amazing. Definitely one of the best days of India. So that is our travel expeditions that we've done.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from anyone if you've done the same things as us. Get in contact. We have an email address.
We do, yeah. It's whatthefoe, and foe is P-H-O.
Yep.
So whatthefoepodcast@gmail.com. We'll probably have lots of people write in correcting us on things that we've said.
Yes.
You know, like you said about the border being the drug smuggling capital.
Yeah, probably not.
No.
But also talking about What the Foe, why is it called What the Foe Podcast? It's P-H-O because that is Vietnamese soup.
Yep.
It's a little play on words there for you.
Well, we're trying to come up with something clever. Yeah, I'm not sure if we've achieved it, but we like it.
I like it. What the Foe Podcast.
Yeah.
It's all good.
So now we'll give you guys a chance to get to know us a bit better. So, jobs, what we do, and some facts about ourselves. So, Amy, tell everyone what you do.
Okay, so I work in radio and I don't have a specific job because I freelance. So, for example, the last few weeks I've freelanced on Kiss Breakfast, where I've been doing the traffic and travel with Charlie, Ricky and Melvin, if you listen. And I present on a community station as well. I'd love to be a presenter. That's what I'm aiming for. But
and the radio station you present at is in the birthplace of radio.
Yeah.
In Chelmsford.
How cool is that?
England.
Chelmsford, Essex, England. It's the birthplace of radio because of Marconi. So, yeah, we wouldn't be anywhere without that dude.
With that guy, you guys wouldn't be able to hear us us right now?
No.
Oh, wait, is that the same thing as a podcast?
You wouldn't have a podcast if you didn't have radio.
Okay.
So yeah, I work in radio. What do you do, Nick?
Something not very creative. I work in sort of energy, not just oil and gas, but renewables as well. I'm head of sales for a company who we supply equipment to the guys who build wind farms and the guys who go and drill for oil and refine it and things like that. So yeah, we're involved in the energy industry. Okay, so yeah, that's what we do for a job. Because yeah, I think what someone does tells you quite a lot about them, doesn't it, as a person?
Definitely. And a fun little fact, I heard this on a TV program once. And I haven't forgot it because I just find this so bizarre. And it said that Chinese people can be friends with someone for a whole year and not even know what they do for a living. And I just find that so bizarre because that's one of my first questions when I meet someone, because it really helps you to sum up what kind of person they are.
Yeah, for sure. And again, we'll probably get people saying, that's not true, but that's what we've heard.
Yeah, well, that was on a TV program. So BBC, so it must be right.
But I do find those different cultural views. Yeah. I do find them very interesting.
Like, I just can't imagine not knowing what my friends do. Like, why would that never come up in conversation?
Yeah.
So bizarre.
Amazing. So shall we also tell people 10 facts about each other? So go on, Amy, take it away.
Yeah, so these are 10 things I know to be true about myself, just to so you can get inside my mind. I'm a meditating yoga wannabe and an amateur psychologist. Androgyny fascinates me. Some days I dress like a boy. Travel is my number one calling in life. I'll do anything for that person I believe deserves it. I hate sleeping at night, but I love it in the mornings. And if I'm not eating, cooking, or talking about curry, I'm 100% thinking about it, which I think goes for both of us, really, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
I have a bucket list of 112 things. I've ticked off 31, including paragliding, travelling a country in a camper van, as well as milking a cow. A very weird one, but we did that in India, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Like, I would never have done that unless it was on my list.
That's cool.
And that's what it's for.
That's
it
good.
Pushes me to do it. Another food-related one. Bacon and avocado is the best food mix. As uncomfortable as it may be, I'll always tell the truth if asked for my opinion. You've been
very true.
The brunt of those situations.
I can confirm that.
If I like something, I'll obsess over it until I'm bored. Radio and travel are the only things that have survived.
And me.
And you, yes. Not bored of you just yet. So they're my 10 things. And hopefully now you know a bit more about me. And Nick, how about you?
So mine. Yeah, so my priority is just to be happy and enjoy the good times. Can't be doing with drama. I selfishly want others to be happy because if everyone else is happy and enjoying themselves, I'm happy too. I'm uncomfortable with deep chats, opposite to you. You love a deep chat.
I love a deep chat.
Nothing excites me more than an adventure. Just going to strange new places, meeting strange new people. It fascinates me. I hate silences. I'll say anything to fill them. Favourite food is curry, as Amy alluded to earlier. Obsessed with my rubbish football team, Sheffield Wednesday. My pet hate is when someone, you know, when someone rings you and you can clearly see on your phone, oh, you got a missed call, but that's not good enough for them. They ring again and again and again and again and again and again until you answer. I hate it, but I just think I can see the missed call. I might be in a meeting. I'll phone you back when I can. And especially when your parents leave a voicemail. Who leaves voicemails anymore? I don't like confrontation. We'll go into more depth later about another episode about a confrontation with a Cambodian taxi driver. And number 10, the final one, I just realised, why did I write this? My favourite pastime is resting my head. You know, you just sit comfortable, like, right now, there's nothing to rest my head on, and I'm very aware of it. I just like sitting on the sofa. If I can watch TV and rest my head, yeah, life doesn't get better.
I think that sentence really sums you up as well, because...
Simple things?
Between me and your friends, or people that know you, we kind of take the piss a bit that you're like that old man. And you just said, my favourite pastime is such an old man all the time. I'm constantly trying to call you up and make you the age that you are. Which is 26, by the way. No, not 93 or something like that. You're 26.
Hey, you know.
At your age.
I love to have fun and have an adventure. But you've got to enjoy chilling out.
Yeah, so, resting your head.
Yeah, so I'm sure the listeners know us very well by now.
This has got pretty bloody deep right now, hasn't it?
Yeah, no more.
So let's move on and we're going to bring it more into what the podcast is mainly going to be like with our guests that come on. We're going to play a range of different games and so should we go with one? So I've prepped a few games for you today.
Cool.
You haven't prepped any for me.
No.
I don't think I'm ever going to get to play the games because I've got to just set them up myself.
I've just been too busy working, earning a living.
Yeah, a real job. Okay, so we're going to play the Capitals game. You have a 30-second timer, Nick, okay?
Okay.
And I'm going to read out as many, and you've just got to get the capital of the country. Pretty simple, pretty easy.
I've got a BA level in geography.
Right. You are actually very good at your capitals. I wouldn't be surprised if you got 100% in this.
Bring it on.
I tried to put a few corkers in there that might trick you. Let's go with it and see how this one goes. Ready?
Okay.
3, 2, 1. America.
Washington, D.C.
Thailand.
Bangkok.
Sri Lanka.
Colombo.
Cambodia.
Phnom Penh.
Indonesia.
Jakarta.
Argentina.
Buenos Aires.
India.
New Delhi.
Congo.
No.
Nepal.
Kathmandu.
Poland.
Warsaw.
Spain.
Madrid.
Kent.
Yeah, that's all right. What were you about to say? Just for the sake.
Kenya.
Kenya would be Nairobi.
Nice.
Boom.
I put my corkers at the end. What an idiot.
I was never going to get to them.
They were so easy. I like gave you Spain.
Yeah.
Can I just go through some of the ones that I thought were quite hard?
Quickly. So how many did I get? Were you counting?
I think you got 9.
Go on then. So what are the other ones?
The other ones that I think you might not get is Morocco.
Ah, yeah, because it's not Marrakesh, is it?
No.
No, I don't know what it is.
It's Rabat. I think that's how you say it.
Yeah,
or Rabat.
Would never have got that.
Rabat. Canada, I think you'll get that one.
Toronto?
No.
Montreal?
No.
Is it Vancouver?
No.
Oh, my God. I've been to Canada before.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tell me what it is.
Ottawa.
I wouldn't have got that.
Okay. Obviously, the classic one that everybody gets wrong, Australia.
Canberra.
Yep, and one that's a trick one. I don't know whether you know this yourself.
Go on.
Do you know how many South Africa have? How many capitals they have?
How many?
Yeah.
It's Johannesburg, isn't it?
No.
Really?
Not as far as Google says.
Go on. I
had to double check this.
Go on, then.
It has 3 capitals.
Right.
One is Cape Town.
Right.
2 is Pretoria.
Isn't that in Johannesburg? Right, go on.
And then the 3rd is Bloemfontein.
So Bloemfontein, famous.
I was trying to do a French accent.
Famous.
I'm trying to sound cultured.
Every England football fan knows that, purely because it's where England were humiliated.
Bloemfontein.
In the World Cup.
Yeah.
Johannesburg's not even one of the 3. That's rubbish.
Apparently not.
Rubbish, move on.
9 in 30 seconds. That's not too bad.
I did all right.
And we'll have to put that against our guests.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Should we keep the same list for our guests?
Yeah, they're never going to listen to us anyway, are they?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I think we'll be lucky if we get one listen. If we listen back to it, we'll be lucky, to be honest. Moving on then, we're getting through this quite quickly. We are going to play the game, Name That Fucking Language.
But y'all don't say that.
So the aim of the game, Nicholas, is I'm going to play you a set of robotic swear words in other languages, and
Great.
You have to guess what language that is.
Okay.
The reason that we came up with this game was because, you know, when you're in school, you're like year 7, year 8, and you start to learn French or something. We learn it so late in this country, don't we? Like, other countries start reception.
Yeah.
Start learning English.
You should really start before reception, shouldn't
you? Yeah, definitely. If we ever have kids, I'm going to definitely immerse them in other people and get them speaking different languages like Chinese, Mandarin. Yeah.
Well, if anything, the way like business is going, it's a massive thing on your CV. If you can speak another language, there's going to be a lot of companies interested.
Definitely.
Anyway, go on.
Boring.
Yeah.
Go.
Just thinking practically. All right.
So, yeah, name that fucking language. So the reason is because when you're in school, what is the first thing you learn in another language? And what are the words you always remember?
The swear words.
Exactly.
And actually, I think this robotic thing on a computer, come on, that's what it's made for, really, isn't it?
What?
To say swear words. How fun, even in English, how funny is it when a computer swears?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to give you a range of clips and you have to tell me. So the first word, should I tell you what it means or do you want to guess that as well?
No, just play it.
Okay.
Play that again.
Okay, I'm only going to play them twice each, all right?
Fine.
So that's the test. Last time.
Ipswich. It sounds like Ipswich.
Ipswich.
And of course, because it's a computer, there's no accents to go on, is there? Let's just say it's Japanese and it means fuck.
Half right.
I got the meaning right.
Yeah.
Go on.
So it means fuck.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
He was really,
such a little boy.
Really pronounced it.
Fuck. It's a good word, though, isn't it?
Come on.
When you're angry. Yeah. Fuck. Right, so you got three words in this language. So this is the second word.
Govna. Oh.
That one sounds so dirty.
So sexual. Govna.
Let's go.
Remember, you only get one more play.
Go on then, do it now.
Govna.
Well, that sounded a bit like Russian or Eastern European, didn't it?
Mm.
But it's a computer that's saying it. Let's say it's...
I'm going to need to hurry you there, Thompson.
Bulgarian for dick.
Okay. Both wrong. So the word is shit.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm not going to tell you the language until your last clip. So this is the final clip for this language.
Oh, ha.
Oh, ha.
Okay, Mandarin. And that was... That was in Mandarin.
In Mandarin. Okay, both wrong. That was the word vagina.
Okay.
The language was... That's my drum roll.
That's pretty good.
Polish.
Ah, so I was close to the Eastern European thing.
So if we listen to the first one again... I thought you might get that because it sounds a little bit like... Yekshemesh.
Yeah,
which is Polish.
Now I'm listening back. It doesn't sound anything like Japanese. What am I on about?
No, I actually think it did a little bit. And this sexual one.
Govno.
Govno. That definitely sounded Russian, though. I'd go with you on that. So, yeah, that was Polish.
Okay.
Because not many people know with the film Borat.
Yeah.
He's actually speaking Polish. Like, Yekshemesh, like, how are you?
Yeah, because we went to Poland. We went to Krakow because we wanted to go visit Auschwitz. Like, it sounds a bit of not a nice thing to do, but actually, it was brilliant. I'd recommend anyone to go.
Sorry, just to cut in, the reason we went was because of my bucket list, which we're going to talk about in a bit. It's like one of the first things we ticked off was to go to Auschwitz.
But it was great. And Poland as a whole country, brilliant.
Oh my God, it's one of the best European places to go.
Right, anyone wants to go for a cheap weekend, and I mean cheap, if you want to go for a cheap weekend away and have a great time and eat nice food and like nice people and yeah, see some amazing sights, like the history there is amazing.
Mm.
Yeah, Poland's so cool.
Let's just go back to the food there because I think that drags in a lot of people. So like typical Polish food, you can get Polish dumplings. Now, they are amazing. So the thing you could sort of compare them to with our food is probably ravioli and and pasta. And like it's like stuffed... Well, it's ravioli because it's stuffed pasta.
It's like some sort of kind of pasta, with it, like meat in the middle or vegetables. And actually, they're very much like momos, which are famous in Nepal. They're pretty much the same thing. And they're delish.
But they're kind of boiled, aren't they? So they're not fried. They don't feel unhealthy.
Mm.
And they're really, really nice.
They're like a nice starter, like a nice appetizer for a meal. They're really good.
I'm so hungry.
But yeah, so we went to Poland and we learned Yekshemesh is actually like, how are you? Kind of like a greeting.
Yeah.
And dziękuję is thank you.
Yeah.
Is that right? And then, so then I've been back to Poland for a weekend with some friends and...
Stag do. Lads.
Yeah, on a stag do. You'd love a stag do, Amy.
Oh my God.
That'd be more your scene than a hen do.
Oh, hen do is like the worst thing ever. Stag do all the way.
But when we went there, I said to the guys, I said, oh, you might like to know, cinque and yuzmesh is like the language, and they were like, fuck off. No way. Is that like, that's Kazakhstan.
Apparently. Yeah.
But yeah, and we asked, and they said, go on, ask him, what does this mean? So I said, yeah, how do you say, how are you in Polish? Yuzmesh. And yeah, the whole weekend they loved it.
Yeah.
It never got old.
I can imagine on the stag do that does not get old. Just before we go on to our next language, though, our second clips, second and final.
Oh, yeah.
Can you just explain briefly what your nickname was on that stag do?
Nick the Tour Guide. A few of you might have picked up on the fact that at times I can be boring, the word.
No, you're not boring. You're just a bit old man-ish and a bit geeky, but I love it.
Okay, for example, we'll talk about it in another episode, I'm sure, but next month in August, we're going to Budapest for a music festival. Yeah, that's quite a cool young thing to do. I'm researching Budapest.
Cool and whip.
I'm researching Budapest and I see there's like this company that do free city walking tours. And I thought that'd be great. Just like basically the tour guides, they really put the effort into it because they earn their money through tips. So it's completely free, but you tip them at the end. I was like, guys, we should do this one day. And you all looked at me like, so I'm going with you, Amy, and then one of your friends, her boyfriend.
Mm.
And then
and some other mates as well.
Just one of our, just another bloke who's just a mate. Normally
he's just a tag along.
He's normally a third wheel and happy to be one, but actually he's recently got a girlfriend now.
Oh, hello.
But yeah, back to Krakow. I was Nick the tour guide. One, because I've been there before, so I knew where I was going and no one else had a clue. But two, the last day our flight came home at 9 o'clock and we hung over bored, sitting around killing time. I was like, let's just go do a city tour. Let's see the city. And they're like, fuck off. Let's just sit in a bar and watch the football.
Which, we want to be lads, lads, lads.
I'm happy to watch the football, but, you know.
Yeah.
When in Rome.
But you definitely love to explore.
Yeah, I love it.
Which is, I'm attracted to you, Nick.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. My dadness. You got some dad issues. You got some daddy issues.
Why have I got daddy issues?
You said I act like a dad. I'm interested in like old man things.
I didn't call you dad. I don't call you dad. That's weird. Okay, this has gone weird. Okay, I'm just going to move on and play the second game. So, name that fucking language.
This is round two.
Round two.
Strons.
Strons.
So give me the language and what you think they're saying, and you can only play it one more time.
One more time.
Strons.
Strons. That one. I'm going to go Scandinavian. It's Norwegian, and it means... how many swear words are there? I think I said them all. Let's go shit. I know that was earlier, but go on.
That's a pretty good guess. Shit was right.
Boom.
But the language is wrong.
Am I in the right area of the world? You had to tell me that?
Not on the first clip, no.
Okay, go on then. Second one, bring it on.
Okay, so second clip.
Noga.
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 Noga. Okay, I'm not going to go German because I got shit, and I know that shit in German is Scheiße.
Scheiße.
Let's get Italian fuck.
Italian fuck. Okay, have you heard it once or twice?
Italian fuck.
Let's go for an Italian fuck. Have you heard that clip twice?
I don't care, that's my guess.
I'm going to go with it.
Noga.
Noga.
Sounding like Mary Poppins.
You think this sounds Italian?
Noga.
Noga.
Well, it's a computer. There's no accent, is there?
Okay. You're really good with guessing the words. It means fuck.
So, okay, but not
but
Italian.
You've got the language wrong again.
Right, now tell me, am I in the right continent?
I don't know. I'm going to give you a last clip first.
Okay, go on.
I want to help you.
Go on.
Good.
Good. If I get this word right, that's 3 out of 3. That'd be good.
Well, 3 half points. Come on now, don't get ahead of yourself.
Well, yeah, but I mean, to guess the words, you had stuff like vagina in there, which it's not a swear word, but...
You'll be surprised how hard it is to find swear words on the internet.
Yeah, okay, let's go for asshole.
asshole.
And, no, come on, is it in Europe?
Do you want to hear it again?
Go on then.
Good.
Good.
It sounds like she's saying good.
I'm going to get arsehole, and is it in Europe?
Yes.
It is in Europe. Okay, arsehole, and I go for German then. Maybe Scheiße is wrong. No, you're looking at me funny. Let's go for Flemish. I think that's what they speak in Belgium.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we looked that up once.
Go on, and French.
Like, why is the word not Belgianese? Yeah, Belgianese or something like that.
They're all Flemish.
Flemish. So you think it's Flemish?
Yeah.
And what did you think the last word meant?
Did I say arsehole? Yeah, arsehole.
Yeah, okay, I forgot I had these buzzers. I could have used them the whole way through.
First time you've used it.
Sols.
Go on.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Put us all out of our misery.
Did I tell you what the last two meant? I didn't know.
I guessed them, yeah.
The last one, sorry, mum and dad. The last one meant...
Oh, God.
And sorry to your mum and dad as well, if they're going to listen, because I'm their future daughter-in-law.
I won't tell them we're making this.
Okay. They don't care.
Come on, what is it then?
It was Dutch.
Oh, well, I was close with Belgium then. And fairly close with Norway.
And one of your best mates is Dutch, so you should feel very ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, but if he talks... Unless he talks English, I don't listen to him.
That's true.
Yeah.
Do we listen to him anyway? No. That will break his heart.
But no, this is educational.
It is.
Yeah.
Not only
if
is
I hear
this,
them words again, I'll know.
Yeah. Let's just go through those one more time. So we've got... This is in Polish. Fuck.
Pieprzyć.
Shit.
Gówno.
Vagina.
Pocha.
And now in Dutch, we've got shit.
Strons.
Fuck.
Noga.
And
good.
Did not think I'd be saying those words into a microphone one day.
Okay.
So that was... Shit, drum roll. And name that fucking language. So we're going to play our final game until we order our curry.
Great.
And obviously that's going to be the best part
of
the whole
podcast. It's a quick
game, yeah? Yeah, well, I want to get it over as soon as possible. I want to eat that curry. So, although I thought we were having Chinese on the phone. We were talking about that.
Can if you want, but we've just told people our favourite food's curry.
Come
on.
Let's go with a curry then, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to play a game, and it's all related to my bucket list. And we kind of need to explain how this has kind of taken over our lives.
Yeah.
So in 2012, I'm going to get a bit deep here. I kind of thought, do you know what? I'm done with being this moody teenager and just being negative about everything like British people are. We love a good moan. And don't get me wrong, I still love a moan. Still haven't lost my Britishness. But I definitely have become a lot more positive, haven't I?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, transformation.
Which has made you in turn a lot happier, hopefully. Oh, yeah. Cool.
Oh, I nodded.
Just pulling a face there.
I just realised that obviously people can't see us, but I nodded.
Anyway, so I, in 2012, thought, you know what, I'm going to write a bucket list and just get good things going on in my life. Always think positively and stuff like that. So from then on, I've challenged loads of other people, all my friends, to write them. And friends have done them and they've been ticking them off and it's been great. And I just feel like everybody's got something out of it.
Yeah, and you always thought, why do people wait until their days are numbered? Mm. You know, when someone might say, yeah, you know, I have a year to live. God, I better start living my life. Why are you starting just now?
Yeah. And like sometimes I do worry when I tell people that I've got a bucket list going. They kind of give me a funny look and think that I'm dying or something. But, or they look at me and they go, you look about 16. Why have you got a bucket list? It's like, well, I am alive. That doesn't mean I can't enjoy my life. That's a very strange thing to say.
But yeah, you took the decision. I want to start doing things in my life and enjoying it.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I wrote my bucket list and I've roped you into it, which is a good thing. Got you doing loads of different things.
It's
like
made me do a lot of stuff.
Paragliding, yeah. And what other things have we ticked off? Go to the Taj Mahal.
Yeah. God, I think now you look at some weird things, like you said, milk a cow. Like, so it goes from some small little things to quite extreme. I think earlier you did. Yeah. Anyway, if you didn't, that's what you've...
I milked a cow in India.
But from small things to quite extreme things. Yeah, what other ones have we done? A Great Barrier Reef, like in Australia, we scuba dived there.
Yes, we scuba dived there. Yeah. Done those... Like, there's a lot of standard things on there, but there's, again, a lot of weird things. My weirdest one that people would probably think is not going to happen, but I'm still determined it's going to, is to leave Earth's atmosphere.
It's
going to become so accessible. It's going to happen. Yeah.
Well, like, when our parents were our age, the thought of, oh, let's just go to a trip around Asia or go to Australia for a bit. You know, that's the other... Especially our grandparents.
That could be
like a 6-month boat journey.
Yeah.
You know, things change, don't they?
Exactly. But no, I think it's going to become very accessible, especially with Virgin doing those flights. Yeah, it's going to cost a lot of money, but yeah, we're going to be millionaires.
We're fucking rich.
So, Nick, I'm going to hand you my bucket list now. So if you take
I
that.
I think first you are forgetting the great bucket list intro.
No, I know. I was going to explain the game.
Carry on.
So there's
we'll
my bucket list. So I want you to run your finger down the bucket list. And then when we say stop, we are going to just talk about whichever one your finger is pointing to.
Got it.
So we're going to call this game Finger My Buckets.
I can do that.
Giggity giggity. Giggity goo.
Right, so start running your finger down.
Okay. So you're going to tell me when to stop, did you say?
Yeah. Go and stop. What have you landed on?
Okay. We've got write myself a letter and then look back at it 10 years later.
Okay.
What is that all about?
So I've actually ticked this one off already.
You've done it already, yeah.
I can't remember what year I wrote it in. I think it must have been 2016 because I remember... No, 2017. No, wait a minute.
It's 2015 now. I think like 1 or 2 years, maybe 2 years ago you wrote it.
I just think I wrote it in 2016, didn't I?
Okay.
Oh my God, my brain. See, look, I woke up at 4 a.m. and I've forgotten what year it is now. Anyway, I can't remember when I wrote it, but it's signed, sealed, delivered in one of my cupboards. And I even put one of those wax things on it, like the red wax, and then stamped it with something so I knew no one had opened it and I hadn't. And the good thing is, so I've written this whole letter. I think it's like 2-3 pages long. And I kind of predicted what I thought was going to happen and what kind of stage I'd be in my life in 10 years' time. So I thought it'd be really fascinating to read it in 10 years' time, basically.
So you just wanted to do it to see how much you've changed and grown. You look back and be like, oh, that was me 10 years ago.
Definitely,
can't believe I had that opinion or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And just saying what I thought our relationship would be like and my friends at the time, whether I thought I'd be friends with them. But the good thing is we both know how awful my memory is.
Yeah,
so I can't remember exactly what's in that letter. I thought that was quite good.
Cool.
To go through that. So
good.
That's finger my bucket. I think it's going to be a lot more interesting when we've got a guest on the show and we can start writing them a bucket list or something.
It'll catch on. And then, yeah, we'll just keep going through your bucket list until it's all done.
Right. I'm hungry, as always. So we're coming to the end of the podcast, our first episode of What
just
the Faux podcast.
A brief introduction. We'll get more into some in-depth like travel locations with our guests in the next few shows.
So each guest that comes on, we're going to ask them to bring a range of stories with them, a few photos. So we're going to put them out on Twitter. If you want to follow me, I'm at Amy Rose Radio, and Amy is spelled A-M-Y. And what's your Twitter, Nick?
I don't do that.
Oh, you're such a typical man.
No, you do all that stuff. No, I used to be into all that, but I don't do Facebook, Twitter.
This is what I mean. You're a proper old man.
The only thing I do, because it's good for my career, is LinkedIn. That's the only social media I'm going to bother doing. So, no, tweet Amy.
Thanks, cool. Right, at Amy Rose Radio, if you want to get in touch with any podcast stuff or anything, just give me a shout. We're going to be putting out some pictures of the guests that we have on, and yeah, get in touch.
So, should we order this food?
Yeah. Let's go. There's so many curries in Chelmsford, and I'm not sure this is going to be too entertaining that we're going to order a curry.
Yeah, if it's not good, we'll cut it out.
Okay, we'll see you roughly about 25 minutes.
Great. All right, cheers.
Thank you, bye.
Thanks, bye.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. To the extent where we're going to leave this podcast now, because I just want to eat.
Let's go get a curry.
So thanks for listening to episode 1 of What the Faux podcast. We'll be back next month because it's going to be a monthly podcast, and we're going to have our first guest on, which is super exciting.
Do we know yet, or what country, or what guest?
I'm not going to give anything away. Fine, I'm going to tease you lots. I'm going to tease you.
Giggity, giggity. Giggity, goo.
Until we can reveal it. I might reveal it on Twitter first. I'm not sure. Might get a bit of love going on Twitter first. And we're going to bring some stories of where they've been. And also, in the future, I'm going to get some people on that are planning. They've never been travelling before, but they're planning to go.
Good idea, yeah.
So that will help a lot of people that haven't gone travelling but are really interested to go.
Yeah, we can tell them what we've done to our first trip especially, and what we did wrong, what you should and shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Exactly. Thanks for listening. We will be back next month with our special guest.
See you next time.
See you then.
We'd love to hear from you guys, so you can get in touch either by emailing whatthefaupodcast, and that's faux spelled P-H-O, whatthefaupodcast@gmail.com, or find us on Instagram, search for whatthefaupodcast.
This podcast was sponsored by Ant Podcast Management. For help getting your professional podcast up and running, visit ant-podcastmanagement.com.